And now it's time for Dr. Dave and Shrink Wrap Radio.
You're on the couch again with Dr. Dave and Shrink Wrap Radio is playing on again. Yeah. It's all in your head. It's all in your head. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio. Shrink Wrap Radio.
It's Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make it dangerous. It's all in your head. And now here's your host, Dr. Dave.
We've all heard that laughter is the best medicine. But is it really? If you're old enough, you may recall Norman Cousins' 1979 book, I think it was called Anatomy of an Illness. Norman Cousins, if you weren't around in those days, he was the editor of the Saturday Review magazine. And he'd come down with a serious life-threatening illness, and he decided to treat himself using laughter. Now, I seem to recall that he checked himself out of the hospital and into a hotel room where he watched old Marx Brothers movies and Laurel and Hardy comedies and so on. In other words, he watched videos that would get him laughing. And to the amazement of his doctors, he was able to heal himself from this life-threatening disease. You know, so this raises the question, are you getting enough laughter in your life? I recently read that children laugh an average of 400 times per day, whereas adults laugh an average of 15 times per day. I don't know about you, but I do think that I laughed a lot more when I was younger. And I like to laugh. I used to do a lot of business travel, and to keep myself from getting burned out on it, I would find the local comedy club. Now, today's guest knows a lot about laughter. You may have heard of him. He's a medical doctor from Mumbai, India, who's known as the Giggling Guru, and he's the inventor of laughter yoga, and he started thousands of laughter clubs around the world. His name is Dr. Madan Kataria. And he's been featured on Oprah and in Time Magazine, among other places. So please join me now as I speak with Dr. Kataria in Bangalore, India. Dr. Madan Kataria, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Hello.
Well, we're starting off with laughter. And of course, you are well known for your discovery or invention, I'm not sure what to call it, laughter yoga. So maybe we should start by having you tell us, what is laughter yoga?
Laughter yoga is a unique idea where anyone can laugh for no reason. We don't need jokes, no need to rely on sense of humor, no need of comedies. What we do is we laugh in a group and begin laughter as a form of exercise. But when you look at each other in a group members, laughter becomes real and contagious.
Well, I've seen some clips on YouTube, and it looks like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. People think that this is all fake laughter. It's not fake. It just takes a few seconds for exercise laughter, or what we call simulated laughter, getting real laughter. Because when you see other people laughing, you can't help it. It sounds ridiculous not to laugh.
Right. So how did you get this idea?
I was practicing as a general physician in Mumbai. And also I was editing a health magazine called My Doctor. And in March 1995, I thought of writing an article on laughter, the best medicine, for my health magazine.
Yeah.
And after finding so many research about beneficial effects of laughter, I thought very few people laugh in Mumbai. Why not start a laughter club? So I went to a park and spoke to people around. I want to start a laughter club. And they started laughing at me. They said, "Oh, are you all right?"
So you were getting an immediate response right away.
I said, I'm okay, let's start. And initially we started laughing by telling jokes, which didn't last more than 10 days. And after that, people said, now what? Stop this laughter club. I said, no, don't stop this laughter club. Give me one day, I will find some breakthrough technology, how to laugh without jokes. So I was searching desperately for some idea how to laugh without jokes. Then I found in a book called Emotions and Health, which gave me indication that even if you laugh for the sake of laughing, your body cannot make the difference. Your mind knows it, you are pretending to laugh. So you get the same health benefits whether laughter is real or you're just doing it as an exercise. So that's how I developed a whole lot of concept of laughter yoga, where we initiate laughter as a group exercises, but it takes a little while to get into real laughter. Now the yoga part of laughter comes by combining laughter and breathing exercises, which brings more oxygen to your body and brain, and that makes us feel more healthy, more energetic.
Yes, well, you know, I've studied yoga some actually years ago, and so I know about pranayama, the breathing exercises.
Yes.
And it's interesting that you've combined those two, and I guess natural, given that you're in India.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but I almost came to the same place on my own years ago. I was teaching a class. I'm a psychologist, and I was teaching a university class called Psychology and the Body, a class more or less of my own invention, but one that where I was exploring the idea of mind-body unity.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that maybe it would be good to get people laughing as a kind of internal exercise to, you know, but I didn't have the courage to actually do it. So I'm struck by your courage that you went up to strangers and you got them doing it. And I thought my students would think I was weird.
Same thing. I had to face a lot of criticism from people that how can you laugh just for nothing? So, but it took me a while to get over all this. And one most important people ask me is that how can you laugh when you don't feel like laughing?
Mm-hmm.
How can you laugh when you're not happy?
Yes.
So this is where I want to tell that there are three solid reasons why you should do laugh this way, because everybody knew that laughter is best medicine, but nobody had an idea how to laugh, and when laughter is beneficial only when you laugh longer. Like, for example, natural laughter, which comes in our real life, is only a few seconds here and there. That does not change your physiology. So as a medical doctor, I understand that if we want to get benefits of laughter, one must have at least 5 to 10 minutes of hearty laughter.
Mm-hmm.
So that cannot happen in real life. There's nothing which can make us laugh so long. And laughter also should come from the diaphragm, from your belly. Only then it's beneficial. So this is all what laughter yoga fulfills in. This is actually delivery system which guarantees the benefits of laughter. Otherwise, comedy, jokes, they cannot make you laugh more than a few seconds. So that's why laughter yoga has caught on so well.
Yeah, and a phrase that I see that you've used on some occasions is unconditional laughter, which of course makes me think of Carl Rogers' unconditional positive regard in his approach to therapy. So I love that phrase, unconditional laughter. What do you mean by unconditional laughter?
There are two sources of laughter. One is which comes from outside our body, from the outside world, depends upon so many reasons. People laugh when they're happy. People laugh when they get what they want in your life. That means if your laughter is dependent upon some reasons and conditions, maybe a joke, maybe a comedy. But point is that you will laugh only if you understand comedy. Or if you hear the joke second time, you won't laugh. So that means laughter, what we call real laughter, actually it's not real. Actually, it's depending upon the factor. But what we do in laughter yoga, the source of laughter is not outside the body. Source of laughter is within us. Like children. Children don't depend upon outside condition. They will produce laughter no matter what. So this is what I mean by unconditional means. You laugh because you want to laugh. You want to be happy from within, not from outside.
Yes, yes. Now, what are the benefits of laughter? You're a medical doctor. Have you studied this, or has anybody researched this? Do we know that, in fact, there are medical benefits from laughter?
Yeah, there is a lot of, for the last 40 years now, almost a lot of research has taken place. And what I get, I'll tell you from my own experience what I've gone through. As a medical doctor, I used to suffer from cough, cold, sore throats 4 to 5 times in a year when I was practicing as a medical doctor. So ever since I started laughter yoga, I don't fall sick. I don't catch cough and cold anymore.
Wow.
And same is the opinion of hundreds of thousands of people around the world, that ever since they have started laughing, they don't get infections. That means one of the most important benefit of laughter is it strengthens your immune system. And immune system is the master key of your health. Second, the very instant benefit of laughter yoga is it puts you in a good mood. And David, you will agree with me, if your mood is good, you do everything well.
Yes, yes, that's true.
By releasing certain endorphins from your brain cells and perhaps serotonins, it uplifts your mood. And when you're feeling good, you do good. And also, from the business point of view now, your brain needs 25% more oxygen than other body organs. So what we do in laughter yoga, we laugh and exhale longer when you're laughing. For example, so while laughing, I'm exhaling.
And it's hard not for me not to laugh when I hear you laughing.
So when you're laughing, actually you're exhaling carbon dioxide, the stale air from your lungs, and your body gets fresh oxygen. And if you study medicine, and they say if your body cells has lack of oxygen, this is the root cause of all the illnesses. Even disease like cancer can happen only when... So why people get sick? The basic reason is that people are not breathing properly. Because of this stress and strain, the breathing gets very shallow and people don't laugh anymore.
Uh-huh. Now, you know, you've been doing this work now for, 15, 16 years. And I would think that some student maybe would have picked this up for master's degree research or doctoral degree research. Have any graduate students professors focused on laughter yoga as a focus for research?
Yes. Actually, in Bangalore University, there's a yoga institute which is a deemed university. We did our first study in 2006 and we measured cortisol level in saliva. We also measured stress level by measuring blood pressure, systolic and diastolic. And it clearly indicates there is a reduction in blood pressure. And there is one research going on in Osaka University at the moment. And they compared laughter yoga with a group of people watching comedy. So they are laughing and the group of people doing laughter yoga.
Uh-huh.
And the interim results we got is that laughter yoga has much better impact than people watching comedies.
Why do you think that is?
I think reason I already told you that laughter yoga is a sustained laughter. We laugh as long as we want, as longer as we want. So that guarantees the benefits of laughter. As I told you, you get benefits only when you laugh longer, and it should be extended laughter. And laughter which comes for a few seconds here and there is not going to help. There is not going to be physiological changes if you just giggle here and there.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Now, while we're still on the subject of research, I wonder if you've heard about developments in what's known as positive psychology. This results from the writings of a professor here in the U.S., Dr. Martin Seligman.
Yes, I know him very well.
Oh, you do? Okay, because I would think that there should be some kind of a tie-in between the laughter yoga that you've developed as a technique for moving people into more positive states.
I think what what I can say is that what Martin has done is incredible research. He nearly spent $30 million to tell people that, you know, people have been focusing mostly on the negative psychology, but we need to bring positive psychology. But psychology, David, it still is in the mind. But what we need is the practical version of positive psychology, and this is what laughter yoga is all about.
Yes. Now, I think a critique that positive psychologists might have, or that Martin Seligman might have, would be to say, well, it's good for the moment. You feel good in the moment. It's what he would call a hedonic or hedonistic kind of pleasure. But the question is, does it do any lasting value? Does it make any lasting changes?
Okay. Now, answer to your question is very simple. We started laughter yoga with just five people in 1995. Now we have spread across 70 countries. And there are more than 6,000 laughter clubs all over the world.
Wow.
Now, my question is that if there were no long-lasting benefits, nobody will come, even if they have time, especially in US. Why people are getting addicted to this laughter yoga? The reason is very simple. They are getting some values, and there are what I call that when you start laughing, you change. And after laughing on regular basis, this is why benefits of laughter are much more visible in India, because laughter clubs are every single day in India, 365 days. But in the West, people don't have much time. They laugh once in a week, perhaps sometimes twice a week maximum. So that's why this is where laughter yoga comes in. So what happens is when you start laughing, there is a change in your attitude. There's, you know, you don't have to really think about it. I have seen people changing overnight. People come and tell me they are not getting angry anymore. They are not getting upset with small irritations of daily life. And they are becoming much more giving, much more helping. All laughter club members, they are out to help out people. So isn't it what we call spirit of laughter? And not only laughter yoga has helped people laugh in a good times, laughter yoga has helped people through crisis, people suffering from cancer. They laughed. People, you know, somebody lost a husband, somebody lost a wife, somebody lost a job. But they say if there was no laughter yoga, we wouldn't have survived. We would have slipped into depression. So I believe that laughter yoga has long-lasting benefits. It's not just superficial. I won't agree that it's a hedonic pleasure. It's not a pleasure. It's a joy. Joy which is from within, and it's like learning to ride a bicycle. Once you learn it, you'll never forget it.
Yeah. Well, what you're saying makes sense. So I take it then that your experience is that people don't just come once and enjoy it, but that people actually, that some percentage keep coming again and again, and it becomes their part of their routine.
Not some percentage, David. More than 70 to 80% people keep on coming. Only 30% is a floating population.
Okay, that's fascinating. And that these clubs have spread so widely. You know, I thought before this interview, I thought, well, I should go and check out one of these clubs. But the interview has come around too quickly for me to do that. But okay. As I was researching it, I discovered that there's one just... Now, I live in a small suburban neighborhood about 40 miles north of San Francisco, and I discovered that there's a club at an old age home about just a few blocks away from where I live.
Okay.
So they really have spread all over the place, and I am going to go. I've discovered several in my area, and I look forward to exploring that.
Yeah, you must. It's a lot of fun, and it's way beyond what you can think. So I tell the whole world that, see, it's like you go and experience by yourself, then you would know what laughter yoga is.
Yes, and of course, you know, I, like so many other people, have struggled to establish the discipline of a regular meditation practice. Mm-hmm. And It seems like this would be a lot easier.
Actually, this is the easiest way to disconnect your thinking mind.
Uh-huh.
You get in touch with your inner self. This is what the purpose of meditation. You when you're laughing, you can't think. So this is a very, very easy kind of spirituality. My definition of spirituality is if you can lift your spirits by yourself, and if you can raise other people's spirit, you're spiritual. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to temples and mosques and meditate for hours. So I think it's all about, you know, if you're feeling good, you do good. You help other people. That's the highest form of spirituality.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of that, I was struck by the fact that you've started all these yoga clubs, now 6,000 in over 70 countries, you said, but they're free and there's no organizational structure. In other words, this is not helping you to get rich. They're not all sending you money.
No, I tell you, I'm very rich, very, very rich, because I may not have too much money in my banks. The way I have changed people's lives, people come every day. I get almost 400 emails every day from around the world telling me people that how laughter yoga has changed their life. Isn't it richness?
Yes, definitely.
And though laughter clubs are free, but teaching, coaching, trainings about laughter yoga is chargeable. So I do earn some money because I've stopped my medical practice.
Yes.
I teach people, I do charge for the trainings, but money I charge for the trainings does not go into my building my empires. I help a lot of poor people in India. I give away so much. So my definition of richness, David, is your ability to give no matter how much you have in your bank. So I'm giving every day. So I'm the richest person.
Yeah. Well, that is wonderful. Who do you find is the hardest? You know, you talked about people in Osaka, Japan, 70 countries.
Yeah.
Do you find that there are certain countries or ethnicities that are harder to get laughing than others?
Yeah. I found that people in the Far East, especially in Singapore, in Korea, in Taiwan, in Japan, see, all these people, they are very, very serious. So they take a little longer time than other countries to open up. Indian people are just easy, they crack up any time.
Oh, really?
but same, I think best laughers are Americans. Americans really can laugh very easily because they are all fun-loving people.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good to hear.
But surprisingly, laughter yoga has worked in each and every country. Like, for example, when I went to Germany, everyone tells me Germans are very serious. But when I start laughter club and they open up, they can't stop laughing.
And that's great.
They are very intense. Like now, laughter yoga movement is strongest in India. Then it comes United States. And third country, guess what?
Japan.
Japanese are going crazy about laughter yoga.
Ah, well, they could certainly use it right now, the disaster that's happened there.
Actually, I had a lady who came for my training, and I thought she will cancel the training because of this disaster. She came to the training, and she said, she told me the story that she was a laughter leader, and five of them were stuck in the building, and the whole building was shaking whole night with aftershocks. And they couldn't do anything. She started laughing with other fellows because she knew laughter yoga. She laughed whole night, and this is what kept other people also happy and in a better state of mind.
Wow!
And I was so moved that laughter yoga can help people laugh even when there's a disaster like natural calamities like earthquakes.
That's a great story and a great reminder.
Yeah, I want to demonstrate some of the exercises we do in laughter yoga clubs. Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. So laughter yoga basically has four steps. We warm up by clapping because people are very shy and inhibited. We go clapping po, po, ha, 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 po, ho, ha, ha, ha,
po, ho, ha, ha, ha.
And this loosens up your inhibitions and shyness. And then we have breathing. We deep breathe like. So deep breathe in between. And then we have childlike playfulness. See, what I believe that children are the best laughers and we all have a child within us. So if you become like a child, you don't have to laugh. Laughter will become, you know, your nature.
Yes.
If somebody asks me what you have learned in 15, 16 years of laughter yoga experience, it's not about laughter. It's about play. Now, what I learned in 16 years is you don't have to laugh. If you learn to play and cultivate childlike playfulness, becomes a natural outcome of yoga. So we have a special exercise in laughter yoga clubs. We chant, very good, very good. Yay! And we all do it in a group. It's like cheering up. Very good. Very good. Yay! Then we start first laughter exercise, always greeting laughter. We just shake hands with our group members, look into the eyes. Eye contact is very important in laughter yoga. So you should just shake hands, look into the eyes and just start faking laughter. Just move around in the group and keep shaking and look into the eyes.
Yeah.
Infectious. Then we have a typical laughter called milkshake laughter. So hold imaginary glasses of milk in two glasses and just mix them up like, And my favorite laughter is credit card bill laughter, you know, your Visa bill laughter. So imagine you just received your Visa bill.
Yeah.
It's not nothing to laugh about. And we just do in laughter club, we show around our Visa bill and just laugh.
Well, that's a funny idea. I like that idea.
And every day people are inventing so many new exercises.
Oh, I'll bet.
And among the benefits, I just reminded that there are two conditions as a medical doctor which are worsening. Number one is depression. You have no idea how much depression is in the whole world. People are sinking, you know, billions of dollars being spent on antidepressant and you know, and tranquilizers.
Right.
So I have testimonials from psychologists saying that their patients are doing extremely well ever since they started laughter yoga clubs. Second, cancer is very, very rampant now all over the world, especially in America. So when you're suffering from a disease like cancer, there's nothing to laugh about. It's not even funny. There's nothing funny about cancer.
Right.
So since laughter yoga is an exercise routine, you can laugh even if you don't feel like laughing because we are just doing it as an exercise. So this is where laughter yoga can benefit cancer patients. So these are the two most important diseases which is, you know, bothering all over the world. And third disease is high blood pressure. You have no idea how much blood pressure, especially in India, is also called blood pressure capital of the world.
Really?
We eat a lot of salt here.
Uh-huh.
Our lifestyle now becoming very stressful. So I think we, all our research we did in India, in Osaka, there are other places, we showed that one, the very first session, there is a reduction in 5 to 10 millimeter of systolic blood pressure and some diastolic also.
Now, you've also done laughter yoga in prisons. What
yes.
was your experience there?
My first experience was when John Cleese came to Mumbai and I took him to laughter club and in the evening we went to a prison.
This is John Cleese of the Monty Python fame, right?
Yay, the famous John Cleese. Yeah. And he's a comedian. He told me that I make the whole world laugh and you just laugh, make people laugh for nothing. I have to really work. This was a good comment for me. But he was really intrigued with this idea and he said that It was so easy to laugh when you're laughing with a group of people who are just like-minded and fun-loving and doing having a lot of fun. So I took him also to the prison because as part of my mission, I'm taking laughter yoga to prisoners because prisoners have a lot of anger. They are captive. They're staying in an environment they have nothing to laugh about. So I took him to the prison and he was so surprised that that prisoners could let go of all the anger easily, and they were just, and not only, John Cleese suggested that we should not only do laughter yoga, the prisoners, the prison staff also need, all the police people, guards, they also need to laugh.
Were you able to get them laughing too? Because they're pretty hard people, right?
Yeah. Actually, I do they don't laugh when they are with the prisoners.
Right.
But I do a separate laughter session with police people, commando police force. And now, recently, I had visited Vietnam. And there, this laughter yoga is being taught in the police academy.
In Vietnam?
Yes.
Wow.
During their drill, during their sessions, they do laughter yoga.
Because the police work, I guess, is very stressful. So would that be the reason why they're doing it?
Yeah, of course. And then laughter yoga is also being practiced in schools, colleges, universities. And next month, I'm starting a new project here in Bangalore in the business. So what we are doing in Bangalore is, there is a shopping mall, and I'm making a group of people laugh in one part of the mall, and other group will take as a control group. So they are going to measure the sales of two intervention and control group. So how much sales can improve after doing laughter yoga every day? This is going to be very exciting. If I'm successful in this, whole world, whole business world is going to run after laughter yoga.
Well, I'll be eager to hear about the results of that research study. What is it you're going to measure?
Sales. It's very simple. Who's going to, after laughing, how much more business they're going to? It's very simple.
How much more money they spend in the mall?
No. Oh. How much money? How much more they sell after laughing?
These are the sales clerks then that will be doing the laughing.
Salespeople.
Okay. I missed that point.
I'm successful, David. I'm going to laugh my way to the bank.
Now, somewhere on one of your websites, I read that, well, I guess I was looking at some of the training that you offer, and there was a mention of something about being able to practice this by yourself instead of in a group. So how would a person engage in laughter yoga by themselves?
It's very easy, actually. It's only takes a little while to get over the inhibitions and shyness, but when you are laughing in a group, the same exercise you can do all by yourself. Now, for the last 10 years, I developed this idea of laughing yoga alone. I get up at 4 every day morning, and first thing I do is to laugh.
Out loud?
Loud. Sometimes, you know, I laugh silently when my wife is, you know. Normally, I go to the other room, but when we are traveling together, then I laugh without sound. I don't make sound.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes more hilarious. When you're not allowed to laugh, you laugh more. And I almost die laughing when I'm silent. So it's a technique, actually. As I told David in the beginning, it's like learning to ride a bicycle. Once you learn it, you never forget.
Yes.
Laughter is already inbuilt in us.
Yes.
We are born laughing, but we forget when we grow up.
You know, I was trying to remember the last time that I got the giggles. You talk about forbidden laughter, and sometimes, you know, we've been in a situation where you're not supposed to laugh, and you're looking at somebody else, and you're triggering each other. And the last time that happened to me, I was in my doctoral program in psychology. And I was in a class, you know, and I think my friend and I, we both got sent out of the room, you know. This is more typical of grade school than graduate school, but that's the last time I remember that happening. But I love that experience. It's a wonderful experience.
It's very deep. And you can laugh all by yourself. There's no problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what are your plans for the future? I mean, you've done so much, but I also read on one of your websites that you were envisioning the possibility of communities outside of major cities, people living together who all embrace the idea of laughter. What are your, People would have laughed at your original notion. What are they laughing about now?
No, my vision is world peace through laughter. Actually, I want to set up 1 million laughter clubs around the world. Mm-hmm. And that's why the first project I've taken in Bangalore is I bought a land about 50 acres here, and I'm setting up University of Laughter. University of Laughter Yoga. It's not an academic university, but it's a university of living life. Uh-huh. Teach laughter yoga methods. Because if I can train the trainers and I have more people as trainers, I can set up laughter. Because there is a huge demand. I can't cope up. That's why first center of Laughter Yoga University will happen in Bangalore. Then we will have 5 centers in 5 continents. Second center will be US. Third in Australia. And then Europe and Africa. So 5 centers in 5 continents, Laughter Yoga International University. And then once we set up these 5 centers, we will have role model in each and every city can have a laughter city. We call Laughter City.
Now, I love it.
Yeah, idea is very simple. Like when you retire and between you become invalid as an old person, there's a lot of years, useful years. Now, if you are living with the like-minded people, laughter yogis together, I'm sure you're not going to fall sick. You're not going to become invalid soon. So I thought that we should all live a happy as a community. So that's why I'm envisioning first a laughter city I'm setting up in Bangalore here. So there's a residential complex. People can buy properties. They can hire. They can rent a timeshare or something. So and then Laughter University, there's a lot of people coming in for health, for healing, for networking, building a strong community.
Well, that's a beautiful idea, and I look forward to seeing it unfold. As we wind down, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think I just want to say that, to tell the people that laughter yoga is no laughing matter. It's spreading all over the world. It's way beyond, without any marketing and advertising, we have spread across 70 countries. So what I want to tell people is that even if you have to practice laughter, even if you pretend, do it because it's beneficial, because your body cannot make a difference between real and fake laughter. Second is that when you start laughing in a group, it just takes a few seconds before it turns into real laughter. But my last word to the people who are listening to this program is that laughter yoga is not an amusement or entertainment. This is a best exercise for health. If you laugh, you don't fall sick. So how many millions and billions of dollars are being spent on health? Governments are spending. I think laughter yoga can help reduce the healthcare cost in America, all over the world. And most importantly, senior citizens, the older people, you have no idea how many older people in the world is going to be 3 times more in the next 20 years.
Yes.
So I think laughter yoga is all pervading, from school children to old age, from womb to tomb. Everybody should practice laughter yoga.
Okay, and well, that's a great wrap up.
And Doctor, I'm going to give you 1 minute of unconditional laughter. That's my wrap up.
That's okay. Your wrap up.
Are you ready with me? You must laugh with me, David. Okay, ready?
Okay. Go.
Okay, bye-bye. I love you, David.
Okay, Dr. Madan Kataria, thanks for being my guest today on Shrink Wrap Radio. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Dr. Madan Kataria. I think I recall mentioning in the interview that I had a similar idea many years ago. If I recall correctly, it was when I was teaching a course of my own invention that I titled Psychology of the Body. And it did occur to me that laughter could be very healing and that it might be a good idea even if the laughter were initially forced. I wasn't sure, though, that I could get my students to buy into the idea, so I never gave it a try. Now, this could have been a million-dollar idea, probably like some or even many of you, I've periodically had what I call million-dollar ideas. In fact, one of them from some years back was to start a million-dollar idea club where people for a small fee could register their million-dollar ideas just so that they could later prove to friends that they had that idea when some other more enterprising person who got the same idea went off and implemented it and actually made $1 million. I imagined running ads in the New Yorker and the New York Times to join the million-dollar club. And there would be various perks, such as a certificate suitable for framing and so on. Well, I never executed on that million-dollar idea either. And now I've given it away to you for free. But if you actually do it, just remember it's recorded here for posterity. I had hoped that I would have a chance to report on my own experience of a Laughter Club session before putting this episode up. As it happens, I'll be attending one in Petaluma later this evening. So I guess any commentary I have about that experience will have to wait for me to squeeze it into the next show, which should be appropriate since that one will be about positive psychology. It's a small world, and amazingly, there is a therapist in nearby Petaluma, California, who runs a monthly laughter yoga session. Her name is Carmela Ann Carlyle, Carlyle spelled C-A-R-L-Y-L-E, and you can find her on the web and on YouTube. And she's announced this interview with Dr. Kataria, and she sent out flyers online announcing this evening's laughter yoga session and featuring me as the guest of honor. I'm trying to twist the arms of family and friends to go with me. My daughter Kira, in particular, would be great to have along on this venture because she laughs easily and has a very infectious laugh. I found I felt somewhat self-conscious laughing along with Dr. Kataria in this interview. So I'm nervous that I may be too much of a stuffed shirt to really get into the spontaneous laughter in this evening's session. We'll see. Wish me luck.
Let us all come together to see what we can find. Shrink Wrap Radio is here to remind you it's all in your mind. Let us all remember what you seek is what you find. Dr. Davis here to remind you it's all in your mind. Exploring my spirit and our psyche, we are learning to unwind. Shrink Wrap Radio is here to remind you it's all in your mind. We're all in your mind. We're all in your mind.
As I was saying earlier, it's Friday once again, and I'm glad to be with you all once more. Let me extend a big welcome to any new listeners. Welcome to our community. Drop me a line and let me know you're out there. As longtime listeners know, I also have another interview series at wisecounselpodcast.com. And there's a new interview there. And by the way, counsel is spelled C-O-U-N-S-E-L. And this new interview is with psychiatrist Lauren Olson, M.D., who has written a book titled Finally Out. He's the father of two and a grandfather of six, and he came out as a gay man when he was 40 years old, after an 18-year heterosexual marriage. We discuss all this and more in the interview. Speaking of books, I think I mentioned on the last show that I heard from a longtime listener recommending that I become an Amazon affiliate to get a bit more of an income stream going, since so many of my interviews are with authors and so many of you end up buying their books. I actually had an Amazon affiliate ID from the early days of the show, but made so little on it that it just didn't seem worth the bother. As I said on the last show, I was willing to give it another try. Well, I heard from another longtime listener, Joan Kelly in Australia, reminding me that Amazon and the state of California are in a tax dispute. And for the time being, the affiliate program is suspended in California. Duh. Actually, I should have known that. Somebody in Australia had to bring that to my attention. Joan went on to suggest I become an affiliate of The Book Depository. And so I've gone ahead and done that. The Book Depository is an online bookstore with facilities in both the U.S. and the U.K., and they will ship internationally for free. So wherever you are in the world, you can get a book through them. And they discount their titles as steeply as they can, and they have more than 2.5 million titles. So now you will find a Book Depository badge in the right-hand sidebar on Shrink Wrap Radio, just beneath the big green donate button. If you click on that, it will take you right into their online store where you can look up the book or books I've been speaking about on the show or any other books you're thinking of purchasing. Because you came into the store from my Shrink Wrap Radio website, a cookie will be attached to your purchase that has my affiliate ID embedded. So this is definitely another way that you can help to support Shrink Wrap Radio. In other news, you know that if you need CE, that is continuing education units, we have 2 APA accredited courses where you can earn your units by listening to these podcasts. One course is on the wisdom of the dream and the other is on positive psychology and the quest for happiness. I'm happy to announce that I'm moving ahead with a 4-course sequence on Jungian psychology / psychotherapy, which will also be eligible for CE units. I'll let you know when the first course is up and ready to go. When all 4 courses are up, there will also be an opportunity to earn a certificate in the Jungian approach, all for just listening to the relevant audio interviews and answering some easy true-false questions. In the meanwhile, you'll find a link on our site to the 2 existing courses on dreams and positive psychology. If you're not a current Dropbox user and you're open to downloading their free Dropbox program that gives you 2 gigabytes of free cloud storage, please send me an email letting me know, and then I'll have them send you an invitation for your own 2 free gigabytes of off-site storage. The reason why I'd like to do this is I'll get a little bit of extra free storage for each person that I refer. So I'd love to be able to refer you. And it's a wonderful service. I use it to transfer files from my Mac to my Windows machine, to my iPhone, to my iPad. That's the beautiful thing about it is Dropbox will work on just about any device that you own, except for maybe your toaster and your washing machine and your coffee maker. In the process of preparing for that Jung course I mentioned, I discovered that one of my earliest interviews was almost unlistenable because my voice was very loud and my guess was very faint. Well, I'm smarter now and have better tools and was able to go in and boost the audio. I'm referring to episode number 2, Dreams and the Hero's Journey with David Gordon. It's one of my favorites, and I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it again. It should be a better experience now, 6 years later. There's a new transcript on the site. It's for episode number 258, Revolution and the Quest for Happiness in the Middle East, with Doug Davis, PhD. And that transcription was done by Simon Huggins. Thanks so much for that labor of love, Simon. The Arab Spring has turned into the Arab Summer, and I should go back with my Arabic-speaking friend, Doug Davis, for an update. By the way, there are other transcripts I'm waiting for. You know who you are. You said you would do them. So please drop me a line and let me know how you're coming along. And if you can't continue, just let me know that, and I'll look for somebody else. And I could always use new transcriptionists, so if you're interested, please drop me a line as well. Thanks to all of you who've made financial donations, and I especially appreciate several people who've just renewed their year-long pledges. That provides an important, predictable base which is greatly appreciated. If you haven't done so yet, please go to shrinkwrapradio.com and click on the big green donate button. You know, for the cost of a latte or some other fancy coffee. Oh, it's less than that if you got one once a week. The cost of subscribing at the $5 a month or $10 a month rate would be less than a cafe latte or cafe mocha. So please help out. Thanks.
Hi, this is Kira Van Nuys Martin, and you're on the couch with my dad, Dr. Dave.
Thank you, daughter Kira. And no, she will not be next week's guest. More about who will be later. So let's take a dip into our email bag for some recent communications from our listener community. First, we hear from Simon Huggins, who I thanked earlier for his transcription of episode number 258. After some discussion about the transcription process, Simon writes, "I've reinstated my monthly $10 per month donation again." Thank you so much, Simon. And he goes on, "Thanks again for the amazing breadth of content you cover on your shows. I really hope the support doesn't drop off, as you indicated recently. I'm willing to bet it's just holiday season. As we get towards winter months, I imagine it will pick up. The idea of book links to Amazon that a recent listener suggested I thought was a really good idea. It would provide both a useful set of direct links for listeners and also an additional revenue stream for you. I've bought about 5 books on Kindle myself on the basis of listening to your podcasts. Times that by your listenership and it could be a good regular stream of revenue to help you keep the content openly available and an additional incentive for authors to come back on your show. You don't, after all, have to endorse the work in order to link to it. Keep up the good work. There's a lot of people out there who appreciate it, even if they're not all that vocal. All the best." And that's from Simon Huggins in Ipswich, the UK. So, Simon, thanks for that encouragement. And as you've heard, I can't be an affiliate with Amazon right now because of the tax debacle. And I enjoy Kindle books, too, and switching to the depository, unfortunately, will not allow us to support the Kindle, which is too bad. Next, we hear from Penny, who writes, "Hi, Dr. Dave. You may remember my name from some email exchanges a few years ago, or not. I'm writing now because I was browsing the internet looking for some animus exercises, and up pops a PowerPoint presentation from one of your classes. It's on anima and animus, and it's so well put together, I was wondering if I could use it in my psychology class I teach on personality and the unconscious. It would be completely credited to you, of course. I still listen to your show, although now that my husband is my walking partner in the morning, I do most of my podcast listening in the car. As do I might add. This just means I'm a little behind, but I enjoy the show and assign both your podcasts as extra credit for my classes. Thank you and take care, Penny." Hey, Penny, I'm so glad to hear that you're assigning these podcasts for extra credit. Other teachers, instructors, workshop leaders, take note. I think it's just such an excellent source, such an excellent educational resource, if I say so myself, and I would love to see it used as widely as possible. And I was so heartened to hear that Penny had discovered this PowerPoint presentation of mine. It's amazing the way that the internet gives extended life to some of the things that we create, both wittingly and unwittingly. I didn't realize that that PowerPoint presentation was out there, but I had put it online for my students. And so, of course, I was happy to grant permission to Penny to use it. And as a matter of fact, we then set up a Dropbox shared folder. There's Dropbox again. And I was able to send many gigabytes of PowerPoint presentations and assignments that I've used in my dream classes, which I thought might have relevance for her class. And so that's another reason why Dropbox is great. And it's also the thing that made me realize that I needed more space on Dropbox. So if there are other instructors out there who'd like access to some of these materials, well, contact me and We'll work something out. Next, we hear from Emil, who writes, "Hi, Dr. Dave. I send you belated thanks on a consistently fascinating podcast series. I often listen to your interviews several times and have referred several friends and colleagues to your show in general and to specific episodes. I've meant to write for ages and simply never gotten to it. I'm wondering whether you might be able to do a show on Murray Bowen's family systems theory and Edwin Friedman's application of this theory to organizations and communities. I love this theory as I find it useful with my clients and in my own life, but I don't know any other clinicians who use or even consider it in their lives and or work. It would be wonderful to hear you ask the brilliant and spot-on questions you always ask of someone who could help me deepen and solidify my understanding of this theory. There's nothing at all out there in podcasts, and I can't imagine why. Thank you again for your wonderful programs. I listen to Wise Counsel as well, and please keep up the great work. Sincerely yours," and that's from Emil. And Emil, I really appreciate that request because I definitely recognize Murray Bowen as a contributor to family systems theory, and yet I couldn't tell you anything about that theory. And so it will be very educational for me. And just this morning, I called the Bowen Center in Washington, D.C. There's a center there, and I spoke to someone who had also received an email from me. So I'm definitely trying to follow up on that, and they're going to be looking for a good person for me to interview. And that would be a good one for the Wise Counsel series. And so that's where you can expect to hear it at some point. So keep your ears tuned, everybody. Next, we hear from Bill, who wrote, offering to transcribe my interview with Raul Moncayo on Lacanian analysis. And then we discovered that a transcript for that one had already been done. So Bill writes, "Hi, Dr. Dave, thanks for writing me. Looking at the transcript section, it appears that this interview has already been transcribed. All the better. I just listened to the Wise Counsel interview with Dr. Moncayo yesterday. Great launchpad for some deep ideas. I'm planning on reading his and Bruce Fink's recent books on Lacanian analysis." Let me insert here that in the past, listeners have suggested that I interview Bruce Fink, who is expert on Lacanian analysis, and unfortunately, he has turned me down. Back to Bill's letter. He says, "I'll keep my eyes on your site for other interviews of interest for future transcription. I'm especially interested in Jungian, archetypal, existential phenomenological, and Lacanian or other psychodynamic interviews. I've been a member of the Minnesota Seminar in Jungian Studies, part of the IRSJA. I must confess I'm not sure what the IRSJA stands for, although the JA might be Jungian Analysis, and S is probably Society, so it's probably the International Something Society for Jungian Analysis. That's going to be my guess. For the past 2 years, as I pursued my MA in counseling psych, and am about to embark on pursuing my PhD at Marquette University, your podcast has helped send me down some interesting and fruitful paths. Thanks," and that's from Bill. Well, Bill, thanks for sharing with us your journey, your academic journey, and for offering to be a transcriber. And so I'm hoping that you'll find another interview that excites you sufficiently that you would like to be a transcriber. As a matter of fact, as I'm putting together these Jungian courses, I'm kind of shocked to discover that there are a number of them that don't have transcripts. And I know so many of you are interested in Jungian material, and it would be wonderful if all of the Jungian-related interviews that I've done had transcripts. Okay, finally, here's one from longtime listener, transcriber, and supporter, Joan Kelly in Australia, who writes in part, "Hi, David. Once again, thank you for a wonderful interview." And she's referring to my recent episode with David Eagleman. She says, "I've not read David Eagleman's book, but have heard him interviewed on NPR, as you mentioned, and his work is most interesting. I've read The Hidden Brain by Shankar Vedantam, which is a great book on a similar kind of topic, detailing many aspects of the power of the subconscious mind on the behavior of people, and especially groups of people. If you have the time, I would highly recommend listening to any interviews with the author or reading his book. I'm sure I have heard him interviewed on a podcast, but I can't locate which one. In your post-interview comments, you remarked on the idea of becoming an Amazon affiliate again, but I think when you check it out, you will likely find that their affiliate program has ceased in California and in some other states due to a squabble over state taxation rules. And, you know, I had heard about that, but promptly forgot about it, as with so many other things. So Joan, way off in Australia, had to remind me. Skipping over some more of her letter, she goes on, there are other online booksellers who have a reasonable affiliate deal, such as the Book Depository, which I find is often one of the cheapest suppliers of books with excellent service. Amazon seems to be one of the most expensive booksellers, so being affiliated with a bargain supplier may be good for you and for your audience. So as you now know, I took Joe's advice and have signed up with the Book Depository, and I hope you'll buy all your books by first going to Shrink Wrap Radio and clicking on the badge in the right-hand sidebar. Joe goes on saying, some people want to be generous but have a bit of trouble for some reason giving money. And if they prefer a gift rather than a financial donation to Shrink Wrap Radio, this may appeal to them. Amazon has gift cards that people can purchase and then email to you if they want to find an alternative to the dreaded cash donation for some reason. I know it doesn't pay the bills, but it could cut your expenses on books or other things that Amazon sells. And she concludes, I hope these ramblings are helpful. Cheers, Joe. And they certainly are helpful, Joe. And hey, yes, I am certainly open to donations of Amazon gift cards, because there are many things that that we buy from Amazon, not just books, but even things like cereal, a special cereal that I eat, and a special coffee that we like, and so on, as well as electronic goodies that that sometimes are necessary for podcasting or other activities. So that's a great suggestion, Joe. Any of you who want to, who would find it easier to make that kind of a donation, that would be fine by me. So I think that better wrap it up for today. You can send your emails to shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. You can leave comments about individual shows in the comments area. You can leave voicemails on Skype and on my phone at 206-337-0622. Thanks to Dr. Madan Kataria in Bangalore, India, for sharing his insights on the healing power of laughter with us. As you know, I recently attended the Second World Congress on Positive Psychology in Philadelphia, and in the next episode, I'm going to share two of the keynote presentations that I managed to capture on my iPhone. With their permission, I'll be sharing the talks given by Dr. Martin Seligman and Dr. Ed Diener. Both presentations were rich and inspiring. So until next time, this is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.